Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million. Didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
if I had $1 million.
Hello, North Bay Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Just met Weber on the board. Let's see, futures down 18. Dow futures down 155. NASDAQ futures down 58, which is far cry difference than yesterday morning. We were not open here. While your Asian markets were up. So it looked like we were going to have a up opening today, and we did not. And now the Asian markets are down this morning anyway. Sort of interesting. And yet again, Maddie, although we could mention to the listeners, we could like lie, but we don't do that on this show. We could say we were at Davos, but we are not.
Could say it though.
Why is that? Isn't the producer's
why are
job
we not, or why could we say that we are?
Well, why aren't we not? Isn't it the producer's job to get me past the Davos?
Yeah, I probably could have put a word in.
I think that would have worked. Well, Trump didn't go, so there's room.
A lot of room.
He bailed, so there's probably a lot of room for him and his entourage. you know, I'm just saying. Dr. J, I don't think, is there either for the umpteenth year in a row. How does that work?
What about Kenny? He's unavailable today. Do you think he's there?
I don't know. He's unavailable? That's right. Maybe he is. Maybe he's a sneaky Davos sort of dude.
He could be.
What? Well, we'll have to ask him when we see him. We can't ask him if he's unavailable. Like that sort of
well,
thing.
Well, we won't get to ask him today, but we will have Joel calling in, and then we'll have, of course, John Neal later on, and probably some surprise guests along the way.
Yeah, they'll surprise even us. You know? hey, what do you make of, well, first of all, nobody's worried about the down day. We've had how many down days in the last 2 weeks where we come right back up? Is everybody in the world is, you know, demanding that you send money that's going to be a great year and so forth? And maybe it is. Let's hope it is. But now, top, all these fund managers at Davos are blurting out that we're in worse shape we're in than a year ago. And I don't know. What do you make of that? I think in some ways we're worse, some ways we're better. I don't know on the whole how you can, put it all together. I think, lack of progress in a few areas, I think are really, if they're not already biting us in the ass, they're gonna be biting us in the ass pretty soon. This whole medical thing is getting totally out of hand. We have a few more mergers in there. We're not coming back at all. I just, somehow or other, you can't live in my opinion, and I know, Carl will be with me on this. You can't live in a world where you deny that you're pushing over 20% of an industry that's affecting people, and you make believe like it's not even there. I don't know what the dalliance with that is. We obviously have a problem with the government shutdown. I still can't get over it. I can't go to the Treasury and get last month's expenditures and income, tax receipts that they took the entire chart off the page, not just last month. So I don't know. Are we going to have any labor numbers when they supposedly come due? Maybe not. I don't know. We're not going to get any of this stuff.
We do have breaking news. Our listeners tweeted us a picture that Dr. J just tweeted out that says "Bluebird, beautiful Bluebird Day in Davos." He's there. He's skiing right now.
I can't believe he's there.
Unless he's on a sound stage.
I bet he's just letting us know what the weather is there. Maybe.
he just tweeted it 4 minutes ago.
That he's there.
In Switzerland.
Well, you know, last year, he went to Switzerland, or he went over skiing the week of Davos. He met a bunch of people, but I don't think he actually went to Davos. He went to Italy.
Well, that could be, but he's currently in Davos skiing right now. Because it's, he's checked in on his tweet, so he's his geolocation is there.
Good for him.
Now, that, I don't know if he's attending the conference, but...
Like they should have some standards.
But our investigative listeners pointed it out.
Wow, that's... All right, we got to talk about the football this weekend a little bit. What do you make? And then we'll get back to this other stuff. We were starting this. We might as well do this. Then we'll talk football in a little bit. What do you make of last year and where we are right now? Did you listen to Trump on Friday?
I never listened to Trump.
Actually,
ever.
On Saturday.
I'd rather stab ballpoint pens in my ears than listen to that guy.
Well, that's one way.
There's just no point. Everything he says is garbage. It's untrue, and there's no point in listening to it. I've really tuned it out. I've really tried to tune out politics altogether the best I can.
Problem is, it is affecting you.
There's nothing I can do about it until the next time we vote.
It's a two-edged sword. It's you can't do anything about it, so it's enough to drive you nuts. Really, even with a vote, I know I'm not supposed to say that, but who's telling me not to say that? But Chicago, the vote doesn't help. I mean, you got to get in the early stages. You got to find out.
Well, hopefully, our new mayoral vote will help.
What's going to help?
I don't know, but I mean, there's an opportunity. There's like 12 people running. Maybe one of them can make a difference.
If you can't touch the pension thing, you might as well put Mickey to open there.
Agreed, but there's a couple guys that have interest in at least attempting to do something with that. Don't know if they'll be successful. Don't know if they'll win the mayoral vote anyway. But
I have a question for you, arithmetically, and this will be interesting. We should have a little bit of a pool for those, even if they aren't here, probably learn a little bit about the politics because they listen. I count 13 people running, or is it down to 12?
It's 12 or 13. You might be right.
So the deal is they don't run Republican Democrat anymore. You just run for mayor, and the top two vote getters participate in a runoff. Now with 13 people, really quite a few white and quite a few black, quite a couple Hispanic. Question is, what do you need to get into the runoff with 13 people?
By the way, it says officially 21 people. Filed signatures
really?
To appear on the ballot.
Why do I keep hearing 13 then?
But there's 15 listed below here in the Chicago's official who's in, who's out in the Tribune. So they have 15, and then 6 not listed.
Well, the six probably don't have their signatures approved yet.
The 6 others who have not created official campaign committees with the state did not have a campaign website or had not raised any money. They did not meet the measurements
who's on that list?
Of campaign viability. So those, historically, such candidates do not make the ballot. So right now there's 15 people. Dorothy Brown, Gary Chico, Bill Daley, Amara Enya, Bob Ferretti, LaShawn Ford, Jeremiah Joyce Jr., John Kozar.
Bill Daley's probably the front runner.
Lori Lightfoot, might be. Gary McCarthy.
Well, you're talking about the ones that are on it.
Yes.
Who are 6 that aren't?
They don't list them. They don't even mention them.
Okay.
Susanna Mendoza, Tony Preckwinkle, Neil Sales Griffin, Paul Vallis, Willie Wilson, and that's your 15.
Okay.
And your guy Chewy's not running.
Oh, no. He's a legislator.
He's a county commissioner.
That's right. Chewy went from... No, Chewy took... what's his name's job? Gutierrez. He's a rep.
Right, the U.S. rep for Illinois' 4th Congressional District.
Right, the one with the barbell district.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to see gerrymandering at its best, go to the state of Illinois, look at the 4th Congressional District. It's the biggest joke that you'll ever see. It essentially ties together the Hispanic area on the south side with the Hispanic area on the north side by a strip of land between the Tri-State Tollway and I-90. Way out west where nobody lives, and then comes back down one block along Belmont all the way down back into the Hispanic neighborhood on the north side, which is special, to say the least. Anyway, so what's your number? It's out of 15 now.
What's my number for what?
What do you need to get in a runoff?
What percentage? Or
yeah.
Yeah, it's a good question. Are there going to be two people that get over 25%?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'm thinking 20 gets you there.
I mean, who are the even the big names? Obviously, Bill Daley would be one of the big guys.
Dallas is a name. McCarthy's a name. Preckwinkle's
a name.
Mendoza's a name.
Yeah, Mendoza's been advertising a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like on WGN and stuff.
The
So that's maybe, what, four people that have a realistic shot? Or do you think there's a dark horse?
Those are the people that probably have the... I don't think Willie Wilson could give out enough money, enough people to vote for him.
A lot of these people I've never heard of. So the Paul Vallis guy, the former CEO of the Chicago Public Schools...
He's possible.
He's just having watched, you know, the initial debates. I thought he's made more sense than anybody.
Well, he's a real bright guy. He's a real bright guy.
I don't know too much about him, but...
The issue is one of revenue, and... it's one of budget, okay? And the budget is being eviscerated by the pensions and the fact that they owe the pension stuff way more than they should. And so everybody talks about what the city needs in more revenue. Yet any citizen here will tell you, you got enough revenue. Stop spending. And they refuse to do that. When they absolutely refuse to do that. So everybody's talking. So the trick is, according to, I think, the pundits, and if you were to ask, is to try and find a unique way to bring in revenue where most people think it don't involve them. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is freaking impossible to do. You know, if we had a way to tax the people in Michigan, everybody, and the guy said, I found a legal way to do it, everybody would vote for that guy, right? Which is insane. But it's the, let's put it this way. This is harsh to say, but the day after Martin Luther King, I'll say it. It's people trying to find a way to pander to the most ignorant voters. We're going to get revenue out of other people, not you. I mean, there's way more poor people in middle class, what's left of the middle class, than there are rich people. Even though rich people have the money. So it's always going to be, a cry that we should tax the rich. Because no matter how rich you are, you only get one vote. Well, unless you can buy a few votes, but you don't get like 1,000 votes. So that's always one. But I mean, I listen to these guys. If we only had a downtown casino, we'd be clean. God bless it. At this age, I remember that for the lottery. I remember that for off-track betting. I remember that for how many of the gambling iterations have we gone? Many other casinos. It's all going to be. We don't have to pay any more because all these people are going to pay for us. Forgetting the part that is a form of taxation. It's just taxation, I guess, you choose to give the government, but the people who you zero in on are the people least likely to know the odds of the lottery, those kinds of things, the odds of, you know, even horse racing, but horse racing odds aren't bad, taken from a guy whose family liked to play to horses. So do you have any idea what the horse cut is, Manny? You should know this. You're a horse guy.
The horse cut of what? What are you talking
state,
about?
The state in the track.
What cut the state gets from the track? Is that after every race, or is that
after every in a pari-mutuel system? There's a win pool, a place pool. There's a pool for everything. So let's just say it's the win pool. So everybody goes in and bets. Every winning ticket is placed in the win pool, and at the end of the race, they say, okay, what percentage goes back to the people? And what percentage gets retained by the track and the state?
By the track and the state?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that percentage is.
It's like 85 goes out, maybe even 86.
Okay, I was going to guess 10, so 90-10, but you're saying it's like 86-14?
I think they keep like 14.
Okay, so why do they get a bigger cut of the VIG than like Vegas does?
I'm going to guess that Vegas pays the same as the track still here.
Vegas is pretty much standard minus 110 on everything.
Right. But that's for not for horse betting. For football betting and baseball betting and stuff.
Right, but why would horse betting be different?
Why
do they take a bigger cut is what I'm asking.
Why would they be the same, I guess? Is this.
But why would you take a bigger cut than 10%? 10% seems like a nice, normal, round number. Why would you take more?
Because the state probably takes 7 and the track takes 7.
Yeah.
My guess.
That could be.
But my point is, it's way better than lottery. Lottery's like 40.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, so, lottery is the worst bet in the world. I've never bought a lottery ticket in my life. I can't imagine doing that.
But when you say Vegas, what do you think they take in Keno? What do you think they take in the big wheel? Or in, I mean, roulette's actually pretty good. But, I mean, every game's different.
Well,
what are they taking blackjack if somebody don't know how to play?
And well, those games though, they don't take anything. They don't take a cut of your winnings.
Well, but
your odds of winning are low. But that's right. Not what you're asking. You're asking about a cut of your winnings. And in Vegas, they don't take a cut of your winnings, but they will take an extra cut if you lose. Essentially, you have to put it like, you know, if you're placing a sports bet, you got to put up 110 to win 100.
Well, yeah, but what are the odds on a parlay card?
If you win, though, you get everything back.
Well, the parlay card's got to be, what do you think they pay back on parlays, 40%, 50?
What do you mean?
I mean, what do you think, how many people do you think win in parlays on average?
It depends on the parlay. Is it a three-team parlay, a five-team parlay, a ten-team parlay?
Yeah, but either way, it's not.
Three-team parlay is probably not, 1-5, maybe?
Yeah, but they're not paying out 90% on that.
I don't think we're arguing the same thing. I'm saying they don't take a cut after you win.
So the total revenue.
You're talking about odds of the bet. That's not what we're talking about.
What I'm saying is the total percentage that the owner makes in racetrack is going to be 14%. Okay. The total they make on a straight bet in football is 10%.
Right, and I'm wondering why.
But I mean,
are different.
Well, but the odds on a parlay card are probably. I mean, the chances of the three teams winning, they're making more than 10% on that bet.
Well, on any bet, depending on the odds, you have
your chances of winning on a parlay.
Your chances of winning are different, but yeah, I don't think that's even the same argument.
All right, it is. Well,
I don't think it is.
Well, the odds of winning on a lottery is 40. That's what they pay back. The odds are the same as the expected payment back to you. It's because the odds of winning the odds of winning a three card parlay is what? 2 × 2 × 2, right?
I guess, yeah.
It's 16. It's 1 in 16 of winning a three-card parlay, correct? Yeah, one or two.
I don't know what a three-card parlay is.
Well, three teams.
Okay, a three-team parlay.
Yeah, so you have a chance, one or two chance to win the first one, times one out of two of the second one, so it's 1 out of 4 of winning the first two, correct?
Well, yes, assuming that they're even games.
Okay, and in the second one, and the third one's going to make it another times two, so it's 1 out of 8 of winning all three, correct?
That sounds about right, yeah.
All right, so what do they pay? 5 to 1 or something. Should pay 8 to 1. So it's more than 10%.
Well, the 10%, but the difference is in the horse race, what you're saying is all the money goes in there, and then they actually take a cut of what you're paying.
And then pay out all the rest.
And then pay out all the rest. In Vegas, I don't think they do that. If I put in 110 bucks to win 100 and I win, I get my 110 back and the 100.
Okay, but
they don't take a cut of that. Right, that's what I'm saying. Right, that's the difference.
What I'm saying is if everybody bet the same amount on the Bears and the Packers, their cut's going to be 10%.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And their goal is for that to happen.
Right.
But if everybody bet $1 million on the lottery or on a three-card, three-team parlay, they're going to be taken. They're going to give back. If it's $8 million, they're giving back 5 and keeping 3.
Because the odds are lower of winning that particular bet.
Correct.
Right. But I still think that's way different than the horse racing example.
Well, no, because the odds don't care. I mean, they don't care who wins. I mean, it doesn't. What I'm saying is there's a difference between who wins the lottery or who wins the parlay card bet and how much you pay back to the pool of lottery people. And they're only paying back 1 out of 5 instead of 1 out of 8, so they're taking 3 out of 8, which is a lot more than the 10% they're making on a straight bet. That's a lot more than a track takes.
Yeah, well, it's a lower percentage bet. That's why people put smaller amounts of money on it.
Right,
but it's a stupid bet.
But it could be they could return 7.5. They don't. They return 5.
I don't know that for a fact. We'd have to look at the actual bet and see what the
I'll bet you that we have people listening right now that could tell you a three-card parlay is 5-1, because I think it is. But maybe, hopefully it's not 4.
Well, there's no flat rate. It depends on the individual games that you pick. If you're picking 3 underdogs, it's going to pay out way more. If you're picking 3 heavy favorites, then it's going to be a lower payout.
I'm talking about the one where you get the parlay and there's somebody's a 4-point. You pick 3 teams, okay? And if you win all 3, you give them $10, you get 50 back.
Well, but there's no, that bet doesn't exist.
Sure does.
No, it depends on the 3 games that you pick.
Every parlay I've seen, they give you the card, you can pick.
There is no card. Those days are gone. There is no card. And even if there was a card, either way, the point is that if you take, like, if there's money line parlays and then there's spread parlays.
Right, I'm talking about the spread parlay.
And if you take a spread parlay, if they're all 3 -110 straight bets, then there's
No. I'm talking about the actual parlay card, not a spread parlay you're talking about. Different thing.
I don't know what a parlay card is.
My God.
What is a parlay card?
The parlay card used. Remember a few years ago we talked about how how much money the places lost because every favorite won.
Okay, in football?
Yeah.
Okay, so
there is. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been to a casino in a while, but they used to walk up. You'd say, "Give me the parlay card." There's every game is up on the screen, but then there's the parlay card they have on college campuses everywhere. Or even probably, I don't know.
Well, all that is if there's, you know, 16 NFL games on that day, and you are you saying you want to bet all 16?
You, games? You can bet any number. You could bet 1 or 2, and two pays.
Right, that's the same thing I'm saying. You can, yeah, it's a parlay bet. There's no difference.
But no, there are different. I'm talking about the one where if you bet 7, it'll be 50-1 or something. If you bet 9, it'll be 150-1. You know, whatever. There's a for every amount of games you pick on the card, there's an odds for it.
Right, because the typical NFL bet is always -110.
Yeah, but don't connect them to the 110 bets at all. It's a totally different thing.
No, it isn't a totally different thing.
Maybe not, but it used to be.
It's essentially the same thing. You got to do the arithmetic, but it's essentially they're all -110 bets, and for each one, your odds obviously go down and your payout goes up.
Okay, well, maybe they've yoked the two together, but they used to be a straight bet was totally different than a parlay card bet.
Why would it be different?
Because the odds were different.
But why?
They just were, because parlay cards were passed out on campuses.
Yeah,
and
I know, but they're still just 3 or 5 or 7 or 9 or however many you want to do.
They just
12 -110 bets.
I'm not arguing that they should have been different, but they were.
But what would the payout be if mathematically? I'm asking.
I think when I won at down at Notre Dame,
I think
they'd
be the exact same.
No, I bet. I think I bet 4 teams, and I got paid 5-1 or 6-1. It should have been whatever. What's 4 times 2? I mean, 2 times 2 to the 4th power. 2 times 2 is 4. Times it should have been 1 and 16. I think I got 8. So it was like half of what your normal payout should be if you actually did the math.
That could be, and that would be a big time sucker bet if you would do that.
Yeah, and they have been for
a century. But you can do parlay bets.
I know. Well, no, I understand
that. That mathematically makes sense. Why would you do one that had worse odds? That'd be idiotic to do.
Because there were parlay cards in every saloon and every place around every college campus. Where people could not go to, there was no window. You could no get good. You couldn't.
And
get
obviously, there
to,
was no online.
Yeah. Right, there was no online.
Yeah, well, I mean that makes sense. I mean, I totally get it. What you're saying, I'll
bet you could walk into the
big
the
time
front,
sucker bet.
I bet you walk into the front row of Caesar's Palace, and there's still a parlay card.
Well, there's sheets that show all the games, but you could probably ask for some sort of physical card, but they're not out.
Remember, the one day is what happened. The entire left side of the parlay card won. And I was stunned because we had somebody call in that knew a lot more gambling than me and said that over 50% of the bets in Vegas now are gimmick bets. Stuff like parlays and over-unders and things.
Well, that's for sure, yeah, because you can put a small amount of money on it, and if you don't win, you're not expecting to win, but if you win, it's a huge payout.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is whenever you do that, the odds get worse usually. So a lot of people don't know the odds are playing, and that's the advantage. I'm saying there's no way to run a city. I guess is the bottom line. How many more people, you know, collecting money on the street from people buying lottery tickets? You think you're going to take them to pay off the pension? Like quite a bit. SP futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 53. Come back with Mr. Joel on Cannon.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, North Bank Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Mr. Matt Weber. Matt Weber, we'll have Mr. Joel O'Connor in a second. S&P futures down 1575. Dow futures down 133. NASDAQ futures down 53 as Davos opens with Maddie Weber and I sitting here, as is Joel. Joel, you and Maddie have a quiz for you two mavens, sports mavens. Name me the one time that the track has to pay out more than they take in. And name me the only even money bet in Vegas while I'm doing the rest of these things. You guys should know these on the tip of your tongue, geniuses that you are. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 60.5%, FTSE down 40.6%, CAC around down 32.7%. So down but not horrible. Nikkei down 96.5%, Shanghai down 31.2%. Dudgeon, it's under 2,600, now 2,579. It's a little above the 2,500 number. Hang Seng down 191.7%, but still managed to close over to 27,000, 27,005. We have oil down 99 cents, 52.81. That's almost 2%. Brent down 129, 61.45. So that spread is now, I'm going to call it $9, actually $8.50. So down to like the low edge of that. Natural gas 324, RBOB gas 141, home heating oil 189. Gold, you might be thinking, is going up. Actually, it's up 20 cents, but down lower than it's been. It's 1282. We had it as high as 1297 last week, so it's down a little bit, but still in the high 1200s. So it doesn't look like it's heading back down to like a 1200 or 1100s anywhere, but it might. Silver down 9 cents, 1530. Matty, you got for us traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We already have a crash on the Kennedy Chief. Looks like it's on the inbound side just before Nagel Avenue. Expected congestion from that, so expect delays as you're coming in from O'Hare on the Kennedy, although they're not significant yet. Outbound side looks okay. No issues on the Edens. Eisenhower is nice and quiet. Stevenson traffic building, but no accidents to report. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are looking good. Only other crash in the area is out in Northwest Suburban Bartlett, Stearns Road at Route 59. We have an accident, but everything else is looking good out there. Weather today, a winter weather advisory is in effect today from noon until midnight tonight for the entire Chicagoland area. Mixed precipitation is expected. Plan on slippery road conditions. Icy freezing rain is a possibility, and hazardous conditions could impact the evening commute as well. No issues this morning, but keep that in mind for this afternoon. Probably want to take public transportation if at all possible. Our high today will be 36 with a rain snow mix beginning this afternoon. Right now it's mostly clear and 18 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 64 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 46. In sports, the Bulls snapped their 10-game losing streak yesterday afternoon in Cleveland, beating the Cavs 104-88. After the game, it was announced that they acquired Carmelo Anthony from the Rockets for cash considerations. Melo is not expected to play for the Bulls. They will either trade him or release him before the trade deadline next month. Chief.
So what does he do? He didn't even show up?
Good question. I doubt he will.
That's bizarre. So you guys have the answer to my questions?
So repeat your question for Joel.
What was the only time that a track has to pay out more than they take in? And what's the only even money bet in Vegas?
When do you're talking like on an individual race?
Yep.
Or just like for an entire meet?
No, an individual race.
For an individual race, yep. When I guess like when a like heavy favorite comes in would be just a stab in the dark.
Ding ding ding. Track has to pay $210.
Right.
Which, and sometimes it happened at Arlington Park when they brought Secretariat in. I got to watch Secretariat run against six other nags. You either bet him or the other nags. Nobody bet the other nags, and they had to pay $210. and he won by about 30 lengths. So the other nags, they probably weren't nags, but next to him they were a nag.
Okay. So I get that I got it then.
Yeah, you got it.
That was good.
Yeah. Some states, however, I think New York only has to pay $205.
Yeah, it used to be $220. I remember when Albatross, that was a long time ago, came to race at Wolverine. It was the same situation. And then the second question?
What's the only even money bet in Vegas?
Roulette. All right, Maddie, come on.
Which
one roulette is even?
There's a
black or red.
Well, but there's the two greens.
Right. Okay. Well, you can tell I don't play roulette that much then.
Yeah, it was black or red. Well, yeah, Maddie.
The only even money bet in Vegas. You're obviously taking sports betting out.
Well, yeah, those are not even money.
Well, it could be. You can get an even money game, plus 100.
I'm talking about where the house makes nothing.
Right, you can get a plus 100 game where the house would make nothing.
How do you do that?
There's sometimes the odds are dead even. It's an underdog, and it takes away the vig.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but but yeah, I don't know what you're referring to.
The behind the line bet and craps.
Is a 50-50 bet?
Yep.
So that would be the no pass line?
Well, no, you put $10 on the pass line.
Uh huh.
Then they roll an 8, and you get to put $20 behind the line. That pays 6 to 5, which is the exact number of 8s versus 7s.
Yeah, and it covers your.
Well, no, you still got, don't have the original 10 is not 50-50, but anything behind the line is.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I've never been a good craps player. I don't know, Joel, if you ever
played craps. I should have known that, Chief. I hope you guys aren't going to kick me off the show.
No.
That was...
All right, so, Joel, however, we do need from you this morning, since we've been talking about everything under God's earth but the market. We've got pretty solid ever since Christmas Eve. We've pretty much gone straight up, even though Christmas Eve was a disaster. But let's say we've gone straight up for Christmas Eve, which we have. And everybody in the world is saying... That this can be, you know, back on the bull track. We got the Fed line and everything. All of a sudden, these guys go to Davos. Top fund manager, we're in a worse place than we were a year ago. Blah, 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 blah. And they're talking about UBS. Clients have pulled $13 billion out of UBS. Shares tumble. What? Two things. Are we better or worse than we were last year at this time? And the market's down a little bit from last year at this time. And what do we do here? Do we have the Fed line? Are we going straight up? Are we going down? We've got a president that doesn't know that San Antonio is 150 miles from the border. That's a problem. It doesn't have a wall.
Chief, I didn't prepare for like an essay question here. So, all right. First of all, you had options expiration on Friday, right?
Yep.
It came kind of early. And on options expiration, whether they're a triple or a quad, which, or even, you know, the monthlies expire, you know, you get like an overflow, you know, of buying or selling. The way it turned out was, you know, there were a lot of things were slated to the upside. There was a lot of buying balances. So that pop that you got on Friday, that late pop was kind of artificial, right? It was just a lot of heavy volume on the the buy side. So that was faded. I think you have the UBS comments on the clients withdrawing $13 billion. None of the China data was good on Sunday. So everything that we thought, okay, we're going to deal with China, there's no deal with China. That was a lot of the hype last week. So I guess from a longer term, I'm going to put my longer term investing hat, if you freaked out during December, okay, and you saw the market go down and you get this rebound, and you're just worried about the next 6 to 12 months, the market just gave you just a great move here to lighten up your portfolio. So that's what I'm doing. I'm lightening up in these situations. I am not chasing. I am not buying things up here. I don't see the impetus for us to go to new all-time highs. I think there's a lot of indecision in here, and I still just see a trading range. And until we get something to break us out of that trading range, that's just the way it's going to be. We're just going to grind. So I think the market just gave you a gift with this recent rally.
There's no doubt that if you were on Christmas Eve, as you were celebrating the religious holiday, if you were one of those, and I'm sure there are all kinds of people that said, God, just give me one more rally up, give me a chance to get out. It's given you your chance. There's no question about that. And now if you sit there and go, all right, I'm back 60% of what I was down, I guess I'm gonna shoot for break even. It's nobody's fault but your own. If that's your mentality, I mean, I'm not saying it.
Yeah,
it should be.
Yeah, we don't have a crystal ball here, but if you look at the technicals, you look at the retracement, we overshot the 50% retracement. We had the big move on Friday. A lot of times you see, follow through or reversal, the Friday, Monday move. And I keep a real close, a real keen eye on Friday's closing price in the S&P. That comes in at 26.71.50. We close above there, then, boom. The major rally continues. But right now, definitely caution after the break and then this kind of return.
What do you think of the, without going into a whole list of them, what do you think about some of the individual stocks that have just gotten, I'm going to say, undressed? We saw, like, Schlumberger, but I look at that one as one of my baseline jobs. It's gone from 80 to 37, and now it's back to, I'm going to say, 41, 42. It's bounced some, but it's not like it's back to 70 where you can make a decent shot at.
I don't think it's ever going back to 70. I think there is value stocks. If you want to call SLB, a value stock, if it couldn't mount a major rally when crude went to $75, $78, I don't see it rallying to that level when crude's at 53. But once again, stock had a nice move on Friday.
Yep.
Gapped up. Get over 45 bucks and hold 45 bucks. I'll be as bullish as anybody. But it's important that it holds, just for that individual stock holding the move from Friday.
Well, there's a few of those. The three I'd put in that case, and Schlumberger started long before the other two, so they're not exactly in the same class, but I'm going to say Amazon, 2150 to 1498, and now back to 17.
It's just a lot of overhead supply, man. It's just a lot of stock up there that people are, if this ever gets back to 1750, I'm going to sell. I mean, this is pretty close back to all-time highs here.
No, it's not. All-time highs.
Yeah.
All-time highs are 21-something.
Far away.
Joel, check your machine. 2150 or something was all-time highs.
Oh, that's right. I was looking at a daily chart.
Yeah.
I mean, figure your 50% retracement on that. And, 2100 to 1400, 700 point move, 1750, 1800 takes that out. But, just basic technical analysis on that one. But, man, there's a lot of people stuck in that big, ugly red candle in that thing. And it just ain't going to go back up that easy.
What about Goldman Sachs? Same way.
Yep.
I mean, there's a few these are stocks that basically led us out of the wilderness for a whole year. Goldman Sachs, right? I mean, it was leading that, and Boeing were the Dow move. And now Goldman's given up a lot of that. Anyway, we're going to break here in a second, Joel. SP Futures down 1575.
Go Blue.
Go Blue. They lost. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
I like the way sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown.
Hello, welcome. Hello, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 1450. Dow futures down 131. We're actually coming back a little bit here. NASDAQ futures up 4, which has been our mantra here really since Christmas Eve. We've had a lot of really down mornings only to finish up on the day, and who knows, maybe it'll be another one like that. You know, we seem to go through these cycles where we're down in the morning and we finish up, and then we're up in the morning and we finish down. But right now we're clearly in a more bullish type of heading, where at the end of the day we've been finishing positive, which means usually means that there's mutual fund inflows. But this, look at some of the numbers though, it doesn't seem like maybe there are, but that's normally what is happening. We got the Davos situation, we got the politics, we've got the shutdown, and I don't see the shutdown changing anytime soon here, Manny, but we're talking about stuff at different levels.
Which is sad. You're now over a month, yeah. And of a lot of people that are getting pretty hurt here, I would say.
Yeah,
almost a million people.
I wish
over rich people arguing about nonsense.
Well, I wish that our politicians, and again, I shouldn't really accuse them because maybe they do, but the ones I've met, I'm not so sure. I wish they went through the numbers about how individual people are faring in the supposed terrific economy as much as we do. When we talk about what percentage of the population can't come up with $2,000 if they need it, even people that have wealth. I'm talking about write the check. I'm not talking about can you put it on a credit card, can you do this and the other thing. I mean, people have wealth, but they, and I, if you're aware of a lot of those studies or statistics or whatever you want to call them, surveys, you're a little less, you know, let's not pay people for a month and it's okay. To a certain extent, I think the idea that everybody in the federal world maybe has learned how the other half's been living for a while, I guess that's a minor positive, but it's not something I would like to see happen anyway. You know, it's like, you know, somebody needs to get hurt so they feel what it's like for other people to get hurt. I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but we're way past that. I mean, 32 days, I think. I mean, these guys from the TSA and these people, I mean, it costs them to go to work, for God's sake. I mean, going to work is an expense, right, Maddie?
That's what it's become, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, especially, you know, in some areas of the country, it's incredibly expensive to go to work. I mean, if you got to go through the bridges in New York, or what if you come over to the stupid Skyway here into the city? What's that, $10 a day, round trip? You know, you're not getting paid? I mean, it's that, and you have this semantic sort of thing, and then you have people, what can we do with this Ann Coulter? Any kind of amnesty is...
Put her on a boat and ship her to the middle of the Pacific, never to be seen again?
Wouldn't be that harsh. Can we send her to a convent or something? one with a paddle? I don't think anybody has any of that stuff anymore, but this whole thing, but these people are not, they're just regular people. Whether I understand that you can't have a wide open border to where when other countries are stealing stuff from their people have to go someplace else. It can't always be here. I get that part. But I also know that there are 60 million people in the world moving around because other people have kind of caused problems where they live. And we're one of the other people that have caused problems where they live. So the entire Middle East can't go to Jordan, right? I mean, I'm not saying, and nobody wants them here. I mean, nobody wants them in Britain. Nobody wants them in France. Well, okay. You had Britain, France, everybody's in Syria. Oh, you know, I mean, everybody's down there where the oil is. I started reading this book, Manny. It's going to be a tough one. It's, America's Role in the Middle East from like 1777 onward. I think it's big old thick book.
I didn't know we had a role in the Middle East that far back.
I didn't either. The first chapter is a big timeline summary. Yeah, Jefferson sending people over there in ships in 1785 to fight with pirates and so forth.
Wow,
it's unbelievable. And I mean, how early we started. Well, actually, you are correct in one thing. The term Middle East didn't get coined until I'm thinking the early 1920s or something. It was the Ottoman Empire, it was this, that, and the other thing. I mean, there was always issues with trade out over there in Libya and places. Libya had oil. Not in 1700, but they did later. It's pretty special. All right. What is this Super Bowl somewhat tainted or what? Or nobody cares?
Well, if you're a New Orleans Saints fan, you care. Or, even maybe more so, or at least equal, if you had a lot of money on the Saints, you care.
Yeah.
There was a pretty egregious missed call at the end of regulation in that one that would have given the Saints a first down and at minimum allowed them to take basically a minute or a minute and 20 more off of the clock, giving the Rams just like 20 seconds or so to drive down the field and try to send that game to overtime. But because of that call, it was an incomplete pass, stopped the clock, Saints kicked a field goal, and the Rams had a minute and a half, basically, to drive down the field and kick the tying field goal. Then it went to overtime, and...
You knew the guy was going to make it 57 yards just to piss everybody off.
Yeah, and then it went to overtime, and then the Rams were able to beat them in overtime. So part of me, it says, you know, I feel bad for the Saints fans and those that bet on the Saints because, you know, I think that was a pretty obvious call. I mean, the officials miss calls. We see it all the time. But part of me says, you know, the Saints had 50 chances before that, and they still had, like, the end of the game to get a stop and then the whole overtime to score a touchdown, and they failed afterward, too. So I don't feel too bad for them.
Well, it comes down to, I mean, these teams, on the one hand, you're right. It's like softball. How much can you bitch the guy for hitting the line drive out in the seventh inning when you had three other times you could have done something?
Right.
You know? But it's also... These teams are so close. They're so even that any little thing like that makes a big difference. I mean, people were claiming yesterday that the guy never even touched Brady on that hit to the helmet. I thought he touched him. I thought he did hit him.
I thought that was a bad call.
And I thought it was a bad call too, but the idea that he never touched
his shoulder pad. He swiped down and hit his shoulder.
I thought he whacked part of the face mask, too.
No, I don't think he did. I mean, his fingertip might have grazed it, but I don't think so. I mean, that was a bad call too. I mean, you know, every game when you have 5 million camera angles, you could probably call out a missed call on every single play if you really wanted to.
Well, there's somewhere along the line, I don't think you can even define the rule. But right now, you know, I when I was playing a little bit, you know, you really had trouble. You could bump the receiver, you could bump him like a block, you know, and then it became you can only bump him in 5 yards, right? which I think is still the rule. But now this constant hand-checking all along the way by both sides, where you almost can't tell who's really pushing the other guy because they're both pushing each other all the way down the field. And then a lot of times with this back shoulder stuff, a lot of times, even especially you see this in games you don't care about, like I'm not watching the Bears or something, it's the offensive guy pushes off on the defensive guy to turn around and grab the ball. I mean, it's happened. I mean, it's sort of changed now. It's almost a question of which do you want to have happen. Do you want scoring or don't you? I mean,
right.
Whether you call the damn stuff or not, because really on every play you could call something.
Absolutely, no question.
But I was surprised at the one. Like I said the little guy after the interception, he got whacked right in the head in the middle of the field, and nobody called that.
Well,
one.
Yeah, that was Edelman. The ball, tips off his fingertips, gets picked off, and he kind of falls to the ground and gets up to make an attempt at a tackle and just gets decapitated. That was
30 yards away from the runner.
Horrifically illegal block.
Yeah.
But yeah, that went missed.
SP Futures down 17, NASDAQ down 53. Come back, Mr. Frank Fahey.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something
happened. Well, everybody, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. Frank Fee has been nice enough to call. And SP Futures down 1575. Dow Futures down 140. NASDAQ Futures down 47. So, Frank, I got a deal for you. You, because you like to ask questions, you call up over to Davos and you say, I understand the president and his gang is not coming. There's rooms that are paid for. We'll be happy to occupy one of those rooms. I'll scramble around and get us some frequent flyer miles and we'll head over.
Could we convince Dr. J to go with us?
He's over there somewhere already. I'm sure he'd pile in with us, because I bet he's...
Surprise, surprise.
Well, he went last year, and he was skiing in Italy when Davos was going on. And he had a great deal. His second one has kept him young, little Finny. She loves to ski. So in the wintertime, Jan was always a really good skier. But, you know, everybody else has kind of stopped going. But Jan, I'm going to say 2 Sundays a month, they dash up to Womack, and she loves going. And it's kept him...
Oh, that's awesome.
And I bet Jan's as good a skier now as he was 20 years ago. And he's, he loves it. And so does she. And the wife likes it a little bit, enough to make a couple of runs and head for the bar, which is fine. But enough to where she gets out there. But, no, Jan's still real good. I mean, for a guy who's not a kid anymore.
I love skiing in Italy. I used to go there every winter. It was cheaper for me to go to Italy, spend a week, breakfast in a hotel room, than it was to fly to Colorado.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, Jan was saying last year, what do you tell us, Matt? He was...
Really? That's crazy.
The lift tickets, and we're not talking about, Innsbruck or someplace, but he was in northern Italy, so the places were gorgeous. Snow was great, and he was, I think he was talking about 35 hours American for a lift ticket. I think, what's Steamboat up to? $1.25? Aspen, those places?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, but they give you a lift ticket for 30 different... ski places for a week and a rental car. Now, you had to share a bathroom, but who cares? It was, it's in the German pension style, so it was clean. It was nice.
Well, he was claiming like a big Italian dinner up on the mountain was like $10 or something. Anyway, he had a nice time. And
beer is reasonably priced.
I guarantee you that.
Because that's beer country in Italy there. Well, it's wine. It's alcohol country.
What do you suppose a martini or a glass of wine costs you in the Davos bar in Switzerland?
Oh, I can't imagine.
It's got to be $25, 30 maybe.
Well, I know that a half liter of beer was $12 in London when my son was in Prague.
Really?
And the kids from the Notre Dame program in London used to go and visit him in Prague because it was cheaper for them to fly to Prague, stay with him, and drink for the whole weekend, then just go out on Friday night.
Are you going? Speaking of which, the Irish are playing somewhere over there next year, and the Bears are playing. I wonder if it's the same weekend. Aren't the Bears going to play in London, Eddie?
Yeah, it was announced, I think yesterday, that they're going to play the Raiders. It'll be a Raiders home game in London in 2019.
Well, the Raiders don't have a home stadium.
Correct. And it's not official, by the way, that the Raiders will be playing at UNLV like we thought they probably would.
Yeah.
It's still not official. So it's still a possibility, but they're still weighing their options, which is pretty crazy.
Well, Lane Tech is open, isn't it? All right, Frank, we've got crazy market stuff going on here, bud. What do you make of this? I'm surprised that we've had this incredible rally up through, this whole the whole time people have been out of work at a federal level, and it just I don't see how there's many schools of thought here. There's the one that the guys on the Pullman board, the old farts, used to say, whenever those guys are when we'd be in Washington, whenever they're in session across the street, everybody's got to, like, be careful, you know, that kind of crap they'd send out to you. But there does come a time, I think, when government sort of has to do something here. And we have one of the guys here from, I'm reading, who's the knucklehead here? Knucklehead. Somebody predicts this huge recession in 2020. I can't imagine, I see this, I've said it before, I see this big bifurcation, Frank, looking at people, and who gets their hospitalization paid for and who doesn't. And if your family's making 55 groupers and hospitalization and all that stuff you're getting, I'm gonna say for free, included, you can make a go of it. If you're making 55 and it's on you, I don't see how you'd make a go of it at all. At $1,200 a month and that kind of deduction.
And it's tax free.
Well, it is if
somebody else pays for it.
Somebody else pays for it. Yeah, and it's pretty much after tax if you pay for it. So
in other words, if you have a family of four and you make half a grouper, as you so eloquently said, then your tax benefit, or the benefit of good insurance is more than that 55.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're making the equivalent of 75. And somebody's paying it for on his own is making the equivalent of probably 40 or 35. That's a huge difference.
Exactly.
So when somebody says we're liable to have a deep recession in 2020, does that mean that people who are working and getting their insurance paid for, are we talking about a million of those people getting laid off and then not getting their hospitalization, or the hospitalization stay with them? The last thing you want to do is get dumped onto unemployment and then have to pay your hospitalization as well. I mean,
you're going to have to pay your hospitalization. And Obamacare has been gutted,
yeah.
So there's really no alternative.
No, and
we're still, how many billions a year are we spending on Afghanistan? That might cover it.
Yeah, that might cover it.
I bet you it would.
Well, I mean, it strikes me that we have a total gridlock in Washington, and I don't think people necessarily want that. I think we need a fix on the Obamacare. We need a fix on insurance company combinations. We need to come to some grips of where these prescription drugs are going, because
they're only going straight up.
I mean, there's stuff that has to happen, and the last thing you need is somebody to come out. There's got to be some school somewhere among, like, maybe old guys that maybe should be somewhere else, where I can come out and insult the other guy and then challenge him to come across the aisle and negotiate in good faith. This Frank, he's a bleep. You don't talk about a bleep. His dad's a bleep. He's always been a bleep. Under my administration, we want to reach out across the aisle to guys like Frank, and we want to cut a deal better than you ever have. Wait a minute.
Well, didn't we cut a deal? This is one thing that's totally ignored.
Yes, well, there was a deal.
We had a deal.
There was a deal.
And Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh said, no, that's not a good deal. Now we don't have a deal.
Any hint of amnesty, any hint of anything, any hint of less than $5.7 billion, you're essentially caving into these people. And then you have somebody on the other side, Nancy Pelosi, who is as thin-skinned as he is. So
she made a deal. You may call her thin-skinned, but she made a deal in good faith with them. I think a lot of this Nancy Pelosi hate is that she's a strong-willed woman, and especially with him.
She appears to be, to me, one's an old guy that shouldn't be there, and the other one's an older lady that shouldn't be there. It's not that they're the age thing, Frank, because we're getting there. They seem intractable. They seem like neither one of them have seen a new idea in their lifetime. There's something about both of them that I have a problem with. And it's not the age. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not the numerical age. Why do I feel that way? I mean, I feel the same thing about, who's the Commerce Secretary? He's fighting a tariff war from the 20s, for God's sake, it seems to me. Wilbur Ross. I mean, it's hard for me to act.
And what about McConnell?
Same thing. I mean, Schumer, same. I mean, most young people see the world as different than those people do now. the young people that you've seen elected, both Republicans and Democrats that I've listened to on TV, they see the world a little different. And I'm not so sure they're not right. I'm not saying totally different. You know, we're not throwing history out. We're not doing stuff. We're not getting rid of Congress. We're not doing those kinds of things. But they look at people looking for them to solve problems and not fight. And yet these guys are convinced that they are so far in charge that they can, if they want to screw things up for another year, it's okay. But I think the rest of the country is thinking it's not okay. I mean, the turf battle, I think they think, honestly, it seems to me, Frank, that the older people, in Congress, don't seem to understand that this, whatever you want to call it, gamesmanship that's probably going on in Congress for whatever, hundreds of years, that nobody else knew about, to most people seems pretty stupid. And I don't think they really fully understand yet that everybody gets to watch it now and how dumb it sounds to other people. You either have the people who take sides and everything Nancy Pelosi says is wrong and Trump is right on both sides. Those people, could they possibly go far enough left and right in the country where they drop off into the water? Is it possible to get the 5% extreme left and the 5% extreme right to like drop in the respected oceans and never be seen or heard from again? Or is that too much to wish for? But I honestly think that Wilbur Ross doesn't understand when he talks that people are actually listening. And the president, how do you not proofread a national speech where somebody doesn't tell you, hey, buddy, San Antonio is 150 miles from the border. They don't know what Wallace matter with you. I mean, how are you so? How do you not proofread? The day would never come, Frank, where I would go on national TV with a speech that I'd have five other people say, "Hey, is there anything stupid in this?" Before I said it.
Well, what's dumber, him not proofreading it, or him just going off and using his feelings to make a speech?
Well, if I hear one more
time, perception of what the facts are, alternate facts.
Well, I've heard one more time about the alleged guy who came across the border and murdered some guy. Jesus, what are we talking about? I mean, I don't want to see anybody murdered, so don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm, but I mean, how far did he have to dig for that one? I mean, we can talk about murders here, five blocks from my office. Well, make that 10.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
But those are minorities calling minorities.
Yeah, that's okay.
You think he cares?
No, that's okay. It's
what happened in Orland yesterday? That the Orland Square Mall, there was someone got shot and killed.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, it was on the news all over this morning.
Yeah, like 6:30 last night.
These places, they have they just came out with a rule there where you can't be unaccompanied by an adult if you're under 18 or 17 or something.
Yeah, Water Tower Place.
Well, they still haven't solved that. I was going to say Lane Bryant murder out there in that area. That guy, he just got on the expressway and went to California or what? The guy came into the Lane Bryant, he shot how many people? Eight or ten? When was that? Like 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, a couple people were from South Bend.
Yeah. I didn't even know that, Matty. I didn't watch the news last night. I was digging up. When you're digging in through CNBC and Bloomberg and all those other things, you miss that stuff. How many people got killed? Just one?
Just one, yeah.
What?
In the food court. Wow. And they said it was targeted.
So we're going to take a guy out in a food court. I don't, you know.
Right.
With my.
That's why I stay away from Cinnabon.
With my,
By the way, that Lane Bryant shooting was 10 years ago.
It
was,
yeah.
Almost 11 years ago.
They have not a whiff of who that guy was.
February 2008. Five women in the Lane Bryant store in the village.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't, you know, Frank, I don't. My Catholic upbringing, and I like to think that I give everybody a break. I don't know that somebody who can walk into a food court, and I'm going to assume whoever this person was young. I don't know the color in Orland. I can suspect, but I don't know, so I won't say. And essentially assassinate somebody. I don't see that person rehabable, do you? I mean, it's a horrible thing to say, but I honestly don't. I mean, you get an 18-year-old who's bumped off 2-3 people. You know, I'm not a capital punishment guy, but I don't see that person back in society anytime soon. I mean, I don't. Can you get to the point where?
But it highlights our inability to bring hope to the underclass, white or black, in America.
Well, I think there are people that have just been raised that way, and I think the people doing that aren't necessarily the underclass in their community. I mean, the mobs in Chicago, the guys doing the bumping people off were the guys with money. And they clearly weren't
there. Yeah, but they weren't killing 500 people a year.
No, no.
Well, and terrorizing entire neighborhoods.
I'm not so sure about the terrorizing part.
Yeah, you might be right there.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, the point being is the people who are the gang members that are doing a lot of this, they've got dough. They're not the underclass in their area. Probably got more dough than you and me.
No, not the guys who are doing the shooting.
Well,
the guys directing the shooting.
The guys directing it. So
you know, that Hadia Pendleton or whatever, supposedly a 15-year-old kid was the head of a gang. Now, if you have more money than you or me, you hire somebody to do it.
Well, my friend over at the series who waits tables and lives in Inglewood says that the kids that are like 8 and 9 make believe it's their block and like shooting the guys across the street. You know, with toy guns.
Mm. Yeah. I only shot Indians.
Yeah, we only shot cowboys and Indians. They can't do that anymore either. Do they even sell like gun sets for cowboys and Indians and stuff? I don't think they do.
I don't know. I really wanted that Fanner 50 when I was a kid.
God. Maybe they still sell guns, toy guns?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do.
All right. Can you get like toy bows and arrows and stuff? I suppose you could.
I think so, yeah.
Well, I mean, we've got, they can't wait now since so many people are talking about this Tinley Park place. It used to be the mental home. What do you want to call it? I mean, what's the correct way of saying that, Minnie? The place for
insane asylum.
Well,
they used to call it.
They used to call it that, but that was probably a little harsh. But the idea: why don't we just open that place back up and get some of the people out of county jail that don't belong there, and put them back in a place where they probably could get better help. You know, there's a lot of things here. That's my point on this. Another month, another week. We're going to be fighting about this TSA, not TSA, but the government shutdown. And it's another week that I think younger people, and you know, the scary part of this, Frank, is Maddie and his buddies have somewhat infected me a little bit. Give me a little younger point of view. Is that possible, Maddie?
It's possible, but how so?
I look at the Schumers of the world and the Pelosi. You were away for that, and the Trumps and the Wilbur Rosses, and whether they're Republican or Democrat. They don't seem to grow.
I have a 26 and 28-year-old. Yeah, they've sensitized me to.
I think that
my political correctness is incredibly incorrect. And well, they're right.
But you know, some of it is not. It's not the fact that everybody's got a cell phone with a camera. It's more the lesson that always act as if somebody's watching you. I mean, it's probably the way you should have been acting your whole life. And I think these guys, the way they run Congress, they seem to have done it for 150 years like they were doing it in behind a closed door. And now it's just not the case. So when they do this really stupid stuff, like naming San Antonio as a border town, you know, they don't get the fact that everybody, even the dumbest man in the country, can sit there and go, gee, where's San Antonio? Well, it doesn't look anywhere near the border. What's with this guy? I mean, maybe, you know, 50 years ago, you could have said San Antonio was a border town, and half the people believe you because they're not going to go down to the library and look at a map.
Hey, it has a Mexican name. Come on.
Yeah, it has a Mexican name. And that's where. And that's where. Isn't that where the Alamo is?
I believe so.
Yeah, everybody saw the Alamo, John Wayne, right? And wasn't there a remake?
I don't know if there was, but yeah, the Alamo's in San Antonio, for goodness sake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I've never been to San Antonio, though.
I haven't either.
It's like the last major city in Texas that I've never been to.
I heard Austin's terrific.
Austin is great. Dallas is okay.
Not a fan.
Yeah, Dallas is okay at best. Austin's great, though. Houston's terrible.
Houston, I've never been to.
It's the flattest place I've ever been.
Worse than Chicago?
Houston. Oh, yes.
How can you go?
I didn't think any city was flatter than Chicago.
Flattened by floods over the years.
Well, where's there a hill in Chicago other than over Dan Ryan's woods?
Beverly.
Yeah, it's the only place. Anywho, so Frank, if you could point out the year to us. What the market is. But here's where I see it. We are absolutely convinced that you have to protect yourself to the upside, because one of these days, these guys are going to declare victory in China, and we're going to have this, you know, 5% rally for 3 days, and or 10% maybe, and everything is going to be fine. And we're
9% for the month.
Yeah, well,
we're only 2 weeks in.
Well, we've been having a steady stream of this guy talking, that guy talking, but now all of a sudden this weekend, we haven't made any progress on the intellectual property stuff. So we'll beat up the market for a few days maybe, and come Thursday, I might as well just lob this one out there. The right people will get long, and then they'll say Munchkin's going over to meet some guy in Hawaii and to talk about whatever, and all of a sudden we'll run up again that morning. I mean, these guys are having too much fun doing this. But how long?
Well, and plus the markets. I mean, right now we're saying we're down what, 17 or something.
Yep.
We rallied. So it's 26.55. We rallied from 26.62 to 26.77. It actually closed after, you know, between 3.15 and 3.30
right.
At 26.77. I think the mark was 26.71 or the settlement on
the E-mini
future.
Dow was
so
up 3.30.
Really, we're only down 5 points. They've sucked the volatility out of it right now.
Right, and we're down. We ended up with the markups on the close Friday. That was up 330. So even down 185, you know, we're still up 150, really.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like we're getting clobbered here, but I wonder what happens in the, what was the column that, Jerome Holtzman used to write in the wake of the news?
Right.
I wonder what happens when all the China stuff gets filtered out and people actually start counting up the damage. You know, How bad is China?
Start with the farmers.
I'm talking about the damage in China. How much did they rock the boat on the international debt? They're starting to not pay. You know, they're not performing some of those loans. What about the farmers here? What about some other people here? What's the tally? And if the tally is too heavy, I think the tally will be too heavy over there. I don't know about here, but the tally I think will be pretty heavy over there, and I think it is going to take them a while to come out of it. I think. Never even been there. It's one man's opinion. Because it looks to me like they're slowing down a little bit. And, anyhow. So, I mean, it's pretty hard for me to figure out. I see where people are looking for this Chinese embedded call. Let's say somewhere between now and March. That comes to fruition, Frank. I really don't think we're going to be fighting much past March. Somebody will declare a victory. Now, where does that put us in June? Off the races, everything's okay, or, oh, God, we forgot about this, we forgot about that. Not to mention the banks. All of a sudden, the banks are rallying. You know, I'm not so sure why they were down so much. I'm not so sure why they're rallying. It's tough in here, I think.
It's very tough, especially to figure out direction. You can protect yourself with options to the upside so inexpensively relative to protecting yourself to the downside.
That's true. That's true. Now, what Frank's talking about there has always been this, well, not always. I can remember when there wasn't. There's this volatility skew to the downside. The idea being is when you run down, your volatility goes up. So it's harder to ensure a 10% out of the money put in the last 20 years is always going to cost you more than a 10% out of the money call. Well, 10%.
At times it'll be four times as much.
Right.
To protect against a 10% downward move as opposed
to a
10%
upward move. Well, 10% is a lot. I mean, so you'd be talking about a 25-hour out of the money call or put in a spider. Let's say 5%. Still, the put's going to cost you usually a lot more than the call. And that's called volatility skew, because when you run up, generally your volatility goes down. Which is interesting, because volatility to some people is the cost of insurance, right, Frank? So
yes.
when the price of the market goes up, the cost of insurance goes down. And you would think other things that you insure, that the value of your car goes up, the price of insurance goes up, correct? Collision insurance. Speaking of which, the Bachelor, this is I know I'm getting old. I didn't watch it last night, but the one thing I have amazing jealousy for on that show, Frank, And you know me long enough.
I've never watched it.
It's not the 30 hot chicks fighting over the one guy.
No.
Okay.
Is this the guy who's the virgin?
Allegedly.
He must have gone to school with us.
Yeah, he must have gone to Notre Dame in the 50s. Did you see he took the one young lady, I was going to say babe, out in the desert, horse, and they had a horseback ride, and then they had dinner out in the desert. And the, did you see what he drove her out there in?
No.
How could you not? How could you miss that? It was a spectacularly cherry 1972 Ford Bronco, the small, the original version, the Bronco Billies. God, it was gorgeous. I would say, give me.
Frank said he's never seen the show, and she says, "How could you miss that?"
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's worth watching the show just to see that truck. Who cares about the rest of it? But because those girls are never coming after us, Frank.
That's something achievable for us anyway. The truck, you the women are not.
Tell you what, you could have bought one of those 10 years ago for a reasonable price. Try getting one now.
I've had things like that. I had my old Land Cruiser for 30 years, the 88. God, I love that.
You know what's become a collector's item? The worst 4x4 ever made. Those International Scouts, for God's sake. People want those things. They were the biggest rust buckets on earth. How many of those would you
They have fiberglass body panels. The way around.
Oh, so you redo the body panels?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
And they had a V8, too. So they were fairly light, and they had, what was it, I think a 302 or some bizarre number.
International made it 345. Would you like an International-made V8? Frank, thank you very much, buddy. SP Futures down 17. Come back with Mr. John Neal. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right
now. Welcome to Face Stocks and Jocks. I'm from Maui's Mr. Matt Weber. S&P futures down 17.25. We've been here most of the morning. Got down as maybe as, or got up as high as maybe 15 or 14, but basically right about here, which is roughly half of what we gained on Friday. Down on 145, it was up 336 on Friday, so not quite half there. As the futures down 52 around the rest of the world. Some of these guys are open yesterday. The DAX down 60.5%, so I'll give the whole numbers out. 11,075. FTSE down 40, that's 0.6%. 69.29. CAC around down 32, that's 0.67%. 48.35. Over in Asia, we've got down markets here as well. Nikkei down 96.5%. They were up yesterday morning. Shanghai down 30. That's 1.2%. Hang Seng down 191.7. So Shanghai is 25.97, still above 2,500. Hang Seng's 27,005, still well above 25,000. Oil back down to 52.81, down 99 cents. Brent down 129, 61.45. Natural gas 324. Again, but ways from both the 270 lows and but ways away from the 450 highs when we had the cold November. This current cold blast, Maddie, although it's not comfortable, isn't shaking up the natural gas as much as it did in November. We've got gold either almost unchanged here this morning. We actually got it up 20 cents and silver down 9 cents. Hey, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Earlier crash on the Kennedy is all clear, but all kinds of congestion coming inbound on the Kennedy from O'Hare. We're looking at an hour and 5 minutes into downtown. Significant travel times probably because of that earlier crash earlier this morning at Nagel, but that's all clear. Outbound side, about 55 minutes from downtown to O'Hare. Eisenhower traffic building, same with the Stevenson, but no accidents or issues to report. Same with the Dan Ryan I-57 and the Bishop Ford, along with the Suburban Tollway. We do have a couple issues down south on I-80, though. Eastbound just before Harlem Avenue, there's a crash blocking the left lane. And then out near Joliet, we have a stalled truck blocking the right lane on the eastbound side. That's just before the Des Plaines River Bridge on I-80. So a couple of issues on I-80. But everything else is looking okay out there. Weather today, we have a winter weather advisory in effect from noon until midnight for the entire Chicagoland area. Mixed precipitation is expected. Snow, rain, freezing rain mix this afternoon and into the evening. So plan on slippery road conditions for the evening commute. And this could impact the evening commute heavily. So keep that in mind. Be sure to dress accordingly and to plan your travel times accordingly as well. Weather today, outside of that winter weather advisory for this afternoon, right now it's overcast and 19 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 36. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 64 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 47. In sports, quiet night last night. The Bulls were in action, afternoon game for MLK Day. They were in Cleveland, and they blew out the Cavs 104-88. That snapped a 10-game losing skid. After the game, it was announced that the Bulls acquired Carmelo Anthony from the Rockets for cash. He's not expected to actually play for the Bulls, but he'll be on the roster until they either trade him or release him ahead of the February deadline. Lastly, as we touched on a bit earlier, the Chicago Bears will play in London in 2019. The exact date has not been announced yet, but it will be against the Oakland Raiders, soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, and it will be a Raiders home game. Chief.
How have they not been able to get permission to play in the college place yet?
Well, I don't know if they haven't been able to get permission. They just haven't decided on it.
Well, they're kind of running short of options.
I would agree. I still think that they're going to end up playing there. I'll have to pull up the latest list, but I was watching something the other day, and they still had like five options that they were talking about, none of which included staying in Oakland.
Well, their lease is up, and Oakland booted them. I think they booted them.
Yeah, and I don't blame them.
Well, yeah, John, how are you, bud?
Really good. Good morning, guys.
We're trying to work our way through kind of an odd weekend with sports and football games and bad calls and markets that's a little crazy. A real big run-up on Friday, and now we're giving half of that back, at least so far. We've got people predicting 2020 recession. How do you predict we have people in 2018 was going to be 2019 was going to be the recession. Is it what was the girl in Annie? It's always a day away, always a year away. the recession. I think that virtually all the time, John, there's some people in recessions and some people not. And I think there's people who have never came out of the last one, to be honest with you. And a lot of them are all working.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's the biggest. If you ever get somebody who's really from the right, they talk about the people that aren't working, and if you mention to them, and in a nice way, and say, well, the difference between somebody who's on food stamps maybe today versus somebody 25 years ago is the person on food stamps today probably has a job, maybe two, and still is on food stamps, and they look at you like you got four heads and. But that's the truth. I mean, we've checked it how many times.
Yeah, there's a large percentage of working poor, and just impoverished people that are actually working. By the way, Kevin was annoyed with you and Frank last segment.
I can imagine.
Is it possible the president confused San Antonio and El Paso? Hardly worth the time dedicated to it this morning, unless none of us has similarly misspoke.
I would say that the chances of Kevin not having a national speech proofread are slim. And why do I have to keep acknowledging that it could happen to anybody sort of mistakes when the dude's a president? Just saying,
Bob writes in, the Fed says student debt has prevented 400,000 young Americans from buying homes and may help explain why many college graduates have moved out of rural areas. So if college graduates can't afford homes, maybe that is why housing isn't coming back. No low-end buyers.
I think that at the end of the day, and by the way, Kevin and I can fight with that one tomorrow, about that one tomorrow. It's just yet another, to me, when you're talking about those kinds of speeches, that's a speech designed to ask people to come together and to heal. And 60% of the speech was about how people murdered people, how people raped people, how people gave their daughters birth control because they know the Mexicans are raping them along the way. Now, you don't want the implications there being, on Mexicans anywhere near the place because all they are is a bunch of rapists. I mean, there's people that take these things literally. I'm sort of over it, to be honest with you. I mean, Kevin and I can disagree about this, but I mean, I don't like the in the South Side, which was very prejudiced where I grew up. There were a million little words, little type of hand gestures, you name it, rolling eyeballs, whatever it was, to let people know what you were really talking about when you were prejudiced. I've never ever heard a person that high up in the policy in the air, much less a president, speak like that. Because I don't know, Matty. I know exactly what he's saying. I've heard it my whole life. And now other people maybe don't pick up on it and think I'm just being an old grump. That's very possible. But the fact is, I know I'm right because I heard it my whole life. I mean, there's a few things I'll argue with people about, especially Kevin, because I love him. And by the way, he's a bright guy. He's one of the brightest I've ever met. But this stuff it's there for a purpose. I really believe that. And I don't like it. Is it fair or not, both of you guys?
I think that's fair, but I do think you should continue it with him tomorrow.
Yes.
But I do think that's fair.
We won't argue about it.
And I think I tend to agree with you on it.
There's a constant message here about we're telling people.
And Kevin might agree with you, too, actually.
Yeah, he probably would, too.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. Oh, well, all right.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying, Tom. This is, I mean, we're way, way beyond ridiculousness with all this now, and I've tried to shut it out too, just like you're saying. It's nothing I want to hear, you know. So.
My sojourns into various places, and Maddie knows I try and get around a little bit. I've heard the N-word more in the last 2 years than I've heard in the last 30. And I've heard people being mentioning things about various races, about religions that I never thought I'd hear in public. And I've heard it since this guy's been in office. You can't tell me there's no connection. I know it was always there beneath the surface. I'm not an idiot. I get the part that, you know, in some ways we're like Yugoslavia. Hey, the Slavs don't like the Croats. Well, guess what? No, they don't. Duh. Right? I mean, I just...
Well, the barest minimum, this has done nothing but cause more divisiveness.
Yeah.
You know, so at a bare minimum, and many things beyond that.
Anyway.
Get this, Chief. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter, @Stocks, the letter N, Jocks, if you haven't followed us yet. David Parks sends this one in. Apparently, a sports book is actually refunding folks that bet on the Saints.
Really?
Because of that blown call. Talk about something I've never heard of.
I have never heard of that one.
Ever.
Wow.
One online betting company is making people right and refunding bettors who put money on the Saints. Points Bet Sportsbook, an online sportsbook working in New Jersey, because those are now legal in New Jersey, is paying back all spreadline and moneyline bets on the Saints as bonus bets. They tweeted, "One blown call may change a game's outcome. That doesn't mean it should change your outcome. We're paying back all spreadline and moneyline bets on the Saints. Everyone will have their bets refunded as bonus bets. Just think of it as good karma." That's crazy.
So the winners win and the losers win. Or get their money back, at least.
Yeah, they get their money back. Yeah, they don't win, but they at least get refunded.
Wow.
That sounds like a good marketing ploy, is what it sounds like to me.
I think you're exactly right. I think they're doing it as a marketing ploy. They probably made a ton of money in the night game because everyone was betting the Chiefs. And they,
right.
You know, and they obviously won money on the people that, or, you know, they're willing to, I guess, take this for a marketing expense.
I should know this, but what are the, there's got to be rules. What are the rules on, starting with horse betting, which is what I was familiar with as a kid. It was the only thing you could really bet on. They always could bet on the Bears, I guess. But what is the, if there's an inquiry at the end of a race, you wait till the inquiry, and then once the winner is declared, but the next day, if one of the horses had drugs in him, a horse isn't carrying drugs, or the next week, somebody was disqualified, or the Bulls, for instance, had to forfeit a game in arrears, or more like a college team would. You don't get that money back. That doesn't change. What's the time thing there? Kevin might know this. Or is it just? I mean the
meaning. So if you cashed your ticket,
yeah,
they're not getting that money back, are
no,
they? I mean, there's no way. It's all cash business at the horse track.
But there's a. I mean,
don't they test the horses right before the race?
They test people after the jockey for his weight and everything, and then the thing goes up there. Once it says official, it's official. But then, like a month later, if they find that the horse Matty Weber had. Too much. The whole barn was in taking too much Lasix or whatever. I guess I'm not so sure they probably could take the purse from you, but they're not going to. They can't change the nobody's coming back with their dough, and they're not paying the other guy. Right?
No, I think you're correct on that. All they do is take the purse from the the owners and the jockey and all that trainers.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of deal, but then again, I mean, I remember when Jim Finks. Who I had a lot of respect for as a general manager, on the replay, his biggest, basically, bitch against the replay is, and I actually don't mind the fact that when you're talking about sidelines and things like that, it sort of makes sense, but his bitch was, how do you make it selective? So much stuff goes on in a play, you when you start looking at a guy going out of bounds, and 3 feet away, you see some other dude hanging out of a guy's face mask, How is that not reviewable? It's in the same frame. So the more you go down this road, the more, you know, who's to say that there wasn't a guy on the Saints holding on that play if you replayed the whole play?
Right.
I mean, would it be just as egregious as the pass interference? Right? I mean, because maybe you could have got to, what's his name, the quarterback, Drew Brees.
Brees.
So, I mean, the further you go down this road, if you review a replay, I'll bet there's a lot of plays that I spot somebody on the offensive line leaving a tad early. Yet it's clear now they're not calling every one of those. It has to be more egregious, right, Matty? But there's ones that if you really look at it, the person left a hair early, and they've cut back on that a little bit because they know how these pass rushers are so good. I'm talking about if the guy leaves, one frame early, they're not going to call it. But now it's coming down to. It has to be a few frames early. Or am I wrong? I mean,
No, I mean, and this is going to cause. It's going to be. God knows where they're going to go with the instant replay. I mean, we're now pushing 4 hours. You know, for a football game, what was it going to be? 10 when it's over? a whole day to watch one doggone football game.
Well, those games were long Sunday with all the replays.
Right.
Well, it seems like every catch the receiver made. Was every one of them was a tough call? You know, every guy's
those were with the ball not being able to tell if it hit the ground first and if they had possession control of it, things like that. And I tell you what, on my cable system at home, I tape everything I watch, including the football games, and I start watching about 45 minutes in, so I could just fast forward through all the garbage, because it takes so long.
How's this for an idea, Matty? On the stuff, the crushed rubber they put down there, put like some yellow chalk so that all you do is look at the football and there'll be a big gob of yellow chalk on there if it hit the ground.
And just use a new football after every play?
Yeah. Well, that's what they did for how many years ago was it? Did the ball hit the guy in the foot? He said, and they looked at the ball, and there was shoe polish on the ball, so they gave the guy first base. It was a classic play.
I vaguely remember that, right? Yeah, right.
Of course, now there's no shoe polish on anybody's shoes, right? Nobody wears leather anymore.
Yeah. Right.
All right, so, John, we've been asking everybody this morning, with all the political stuff going on, my view is we still are very, I won't say worried, because it's to the upside. We're still concerned as option traders of the upside shoot the minute the China thing is, but we've had like Frank said, an 8 or 9% move to the upside here. At some point, does it become baked in or not?
I don't think so. I think we're indefinitely precarious. You like that?
I like that.
Yeah,
it sounded nice.
Wow.
We've had a nice move up, but what happened, prior to that and what can happen at any second is why you and I and Dan and the rest of the staff, why we do what we do and hedge positions for folks, the best that's available, in the markets, for the positions we have. And, frankly, I'm not good enough to figure out, when this is going to turn on a dime. And I'll be honest with you folks out there, I don't think there is anybody, that can predict all that.
Well, I'm reasonably convinced, which of course doesn't mean anything, other than I've convinced myself that one of these days, because of the currencies and people owing money all over the place and people jacking around with stuff in the central banks, they start pouring more money out, that we're going to come in and we're going to have a gold, silver up, 10% in a week sort of thing. I'm also convinced that they're going to have as much hype you can possibly give to some sort of thing with China and even the government shutdown, that you don't want to have any calls to the upside, short calls to the upside. Yet I look back at the last year and I say to myself, there's an awful lot of calls there I should have sold. So
I've been doing some staggering and I haven't been you know, selling the full position, you know, like on the GDX, things like that. I've been doing partial just for that reason, Tom.
But the fact is, you know, if I'd have sold those things for 20 cents every 2 weeks for the last 26 weeks, that's a lot of dough.
Yep. Well, that's the game we play, though. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a chess match.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want my people to get caught where all of a sudden we race way up and we're long, you know, XLEs or whatever against it, and us all of a sudden, you know, get caught to the upside where we don't make as much as we, quote, should. Yet, fact is, it's not going anywhere, Jack. It hasn't gone anywhere for a while. I mean, right?
Right.
And,
well, that's exactly it.
Well, we have, what do you make of these stacks that are on the, I asked Frank earlier, I'll pick three of them out in three different industries. Are we seeing bottoms in, well, Amazon's a tough one for our people to trade, but I'll use that as an example. Are we seeing bottoms in the Amazon, the Micron, the Schlumberger, the Goldman Sachs, or is it just, you know, down 40%, up 5%, and that's it? You know, some of them look like the graph is falling all the way down, and it looks like a little crutch on the bottom coming up. I don't know if that means I'm not going to say we're going all the way back up, but are we going halfway back up? I mean, has Goldman Sachs come back like 50 bucks or something here?
The Goldman I could see coming back a bit. I think there's better things the further we go on in the year for the banks, you know, better move or further movements in the banks. Not so sure about Schlumberger, to answer your question, Chief. Micron, I could see coming back a little bit more, and Amazon also. So.
I wish I knew more about some of these. I'm gonna guess there's a, for those that don't know, one of my phones here is the, I'm one number off from the number that they call for Pace to come to your house.
For who to come to your house?
If you're handicapped or whatever, and you.
Gotcha.
So once in a while, somebody starts calling, and they absolutely refuse to believe that I'm not the government telling, and just not sending them a van. How scary is that?
Right.
We'll send them a van.
Just send them a van.
For God's sake.
Maddie Weber will go over to the
van. Start up a business. Good Lord.
I'll be like Allied Van Lines. When they said, where's my moving truck? They, you know what the standard line was, even if it was like nowhere around? If I were you, I'd go right to the window because it's probably coming right down the street as we speak. Because in those days, you couldn't walk around with your phone, which means get off the phone with me and quit bugging me, basically. It was priceless. The things you used to do, Maddie, you know. But now,
exactly.
You walk around.
You dial their rotary phone. Yeah. You can tell a rotary phone right now. People.
By the way, did you guys see the viral YouTube thing about the two 17-year-olds trying to figure out how to work the rotary phone?
I did, which was hilarious.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Tom.
Yeah, that was great.
What do you think about the part that they couldn't have been bigger idiots, and then the parents are both telling them what a good job they did?
Well, because everybody's got to win these days.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. I don't remember hearing the audio.
Seriously,
but
you're hanging in there quite well, Billy. You know, you're really getting it. They didn't realize you had to take the top off to get a dial tone first. You know, because why would you realize that? But because everything else now, you dial first, then you hit the button, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, they wouldn't know that.
Yeah, so even if they had figured it out, they still couldn't have made a call.
I figured out how to dial. Now what? I mean, eventually they would have figured it out.
Maybe. The one kid picked it up, and he goes, what's this buzzing? You know. But it's not. You know, I often wonder if some of the inventions, if all of a sudden, we went crazy, and there's another 30 years, and there was no electricity, never to be ever again, which I hope not. How long do you think it would take somebody to invent a manual cash register or a manual calculator? I couldn't do that.
That's a good point. It'd probably start with a lockbox. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe a wooden lockbox or something.
All those cash registers were manual.
I mean, yeah.
You press the keys in, then you whack that big button, or the big one with your fist.
Right, yeah.
And that caused the thing. My stepfather, when we were young, he'd bring home a calculator from his kid, do his accounting work, and he's adding stuff up. And those guys could add up so fast in those days, their fingers would fly. A lot of them could add up just in their head. But then he'd pull his big lever, and all of a sudden the thing, it started gyrating, and off would pop the thing. And it wasn't plugged in at all. I mean, it was just, you know, it was crazy. Right, so John, what sectors you like? I liked the banks a little bit, but now they've had this move up, so now I'm not so sure I like them. Because every time they get up this high, they go back down. Every time GDX gets up near 22.5, it wants to go back down too. It doesn't want to break through. I mean, there seems to be tops on a lot of this stuff. I don't know, is Goldman Sachs a buy here?
I don't, other than positions you're already in and working those, I see no, like you mentioned the banks and you mentioned the, precious metals, things like that. I don't know that I would add to them, but you continue to work those positions. I think as time goes on, I think the banks will be good going on later in the year. I think, there'll be a few other, select things, but, overall, I just don't see any type of huge moves.
Drop $5 million in your greasy hand today, Jan does not have a greasy hand, but in your greasy hand, and I said, what index would you buy? What would you buy?
I think I would do some of the GDX. I might do some of the XLE. I might do some of the finance one. I might do some of the Qs like we were talking about last week. I might do some of that. And there it could even be some individual stocks that would I could hedge that I would do that have a decent dividend component to them too.
If you had to, if you were going to protect them, would you be real snug with the put or would you give it some room? You only got 10 seconds.
I think at this point in time, I'd start to get a little snug with it, Tom.
Yeah, I would too. SP Futures down 17.75. John, thank you. Talk to you on Friday. Maddie, good job. We'll be back tomorrow on Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.